Question. A person goes into coma. Their body continues to carry out all basic functions, but they are completely unaware of external world. That person is kept alive on ventilator in ICU for some days. These days, ICUs cost a lot, in the order of 25,000 per day. So if the person does not come out of the coma, the family finds it very difficult to maintain the patient in the state. At the same time, since bodily functions are continuing, we can understand that the soul is present. In such a situation, what should the family do? Removing the person from critical life support is tantamount to killing him, and paying the heavy fees is not feasible. In such situations, what should the family member do? I hope the question is not offensive. I'll be very grateful if you can clarify the same. Answer. Yes, certainly it's a difficult decision to make. At the same time, the Vedic literature gives us some broad understanding. And the basic principle of this understanding is that we let nature take its course. We don't interfere with the course of nature in either way, by shortening the life or prolonging the life. Shortening the life would mean that we take some, we give that person some medicine by which the person would die beforehand. On the other extreme would be prolonging the life would mean that we keep that person on a ventilator for days and weeks and months together. That is also undesirable. So letting nature take its course means that we take whatever treatment is possible, offer that person whatever treatment is possible, but beyond that, we don't use too many artificial support systems to keep things alive. When Srila Prabhupada has asked this question, I am posting extracts from Srila Prabhupada's conversations, three extracts. All of them have the same point that there is no need to prolong life. So, I had consulted with the Karma Prabhu, one of his senior scientists and scholars, and he has also given inputs. He especially referred me to these conversations of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says, no, they should stop this nonsense and save money. That's all. Therefore, they are all called rascals. It will not be persisting. It's temporary. So why should you spend money? That is intelligence. So Srila Prabhupada was asked by Harikesh Prabhu, Saurabh Prabhu and others about people prolonging life, and Prabhupada says that no, it's not necessary. Ultimately, how long can you prolong it? It's temporary. So don't try to avoid that which is unavoidable and unnecessarily spend money on that. So then another conversation with Swarup Damodar Maharaj. So basically Srila Prabhupada is saying that there is no need for us to prolong these things. Now, the essential mood of a devotee is to always be of service to the loved ones, whether they are practicing devotees or not. So, doctors can give a fair estimate about the realistic or unrealistic chances of survival. Especially when a person goes into coma, then if the medical opinion is that the chance of the person coming back to life is not much, then removing the equipment is a practical thing. Now, it is not that we are ending the life of that person. The very fact that the body has gone into such a situation where it cannot maintain itself without external support constantly, that indicates to a fair extent that the body's capacity to act as a vehicle for the soul is more or less exhausted. And to put another way, it is also an indication that the soul's duration of stay in that particular body is near ending. So we don't have to try to prolong that. So we are basically letting nature take its course. And certainly, if we can plan it carefully, then by talking with the doctors and by, if possible, we can try to have a very devotional environment around the dying person when the person is about to depart from the body. So if we can arrange for that, then we are doing far greater service for that person than we would do by letting him stay in that body for a long time. And although we may feel that the person is unconscious, actually from the spiritual point of view, coma is also a state of consciousness. Only it's consciousness in a state where we cannot perceive that consciousness. Just like when a person is dreaming, the person is thinking of some things, and maybe those things are joyous or fearful or whatever, but we generally can't perceive it unless those emotions start having some physical effects on the body in terms of, say, shaking or sweating or crying. Similarly, when a person is in coma, the person is still experiencing things over there. So therefore, we don't have to prolong the suffering of that person by continuing on the support systems for a long time. Now, of course, sometimes some doctors, especially in big hospitals that often try to fleece patients who are well-to-do, they often give unrealistic hopes that continue on for a few more days. Let us see what happens. So we need to be well informed. So it is good if we have some devotee doctors in our community and we consult those devotee doctors, give them the case reports. Maybe if possible they can go and check the patient or at least look at the papers and give us a balanced opinion. So if the balanced opinion is that the chance of the person's living is not much, and especially if the person is already aged, then there is no need to interfere with nature's course by continuing on the life support systems for a long time. This doesn't, of course, justify that, say, the person goes on life support system and within a few minutes we decide, okay, let's remove the systems. Sometimes some exploitative people may do that because they just want the inheritance of the person. So naturally, devotees will not do that because their mood is always the mood of service. And so there has to be balance, and that balance requires us to get an honest and candid appraisal of the medical situation of the person. And for that we may need a second or even third opinion. So preferably the opinion of a trustworthy devotee doctor is valuable in this situation. And with that opinion and with the overall scriptural understanding, and especially as much as possible, we should try to arrange things in such a way that we can have a devotional environment when that person is leaving the body. So usually in the ICU, they do not allow any kirtans or any devotional music or anything like that. So maybe we need to have this, make the proper arrangements by which the person can be at least temporarily brought out of the ICU with maybe some small support system on and taken to a close nearby place where the devotees are doing kirtan and they are having angajal, and we can put tulsi, we can chant some chapters from the Bhagavad Gita, have a picture of the deities close by, put the Lord's Mahagarland, if possible get some Charanamrit from the temple. In the way, in the basically try to arrange everything in such a way that as much devotional stimuli as is possible can be given to the person to make that transitional movement as auspicious as possible. This certainly requires planning, and in some exceptional situations, if we can persuade the hospital authorities or if we can have some contacts who can influence the hospital authorities, they may allow this to be done in the hospital itself. And that's why if the patient is admitted in the devotee hospital or is with the devotee doctors acting as consultants, then things become much easier. But if that is not the case, then we need to try as much as possible to get the person discharged, which is also not easy when the person is in ICU. Generally, they don't discharge before the person dies. But if we put in the adequate efforts, it's surely possible. You know, if the person has already expressed a desire that I would like to die in, that I would like to leave my body not in a hospital but in a devotional setting or in a home or somewhere like that, then that sort of statement, either from the person or a close relative of that person, then the doctors are often ready to release that discharge the person with a condition that at your own risk. And then of course getting a death certificate may be a little difficult, so we may have to arrange for that through appropriate contact, appropriate arrangement beforehand, maybe from our regular physician or somebody like that. So all this certainly involves a little bit of effort, but that is the last and the best service that we can do for the person who is departing from the body. Thank you.